You are listening to
Roger, Roger.
With
Roger.
Hey, Merlin!
Damn.
Test, test.
Test, test.
Have you heard of the old testes, testes? One, two, three?
I love that joke.
I have not heard of that, Matt.
Testes, testes. One, two, three.
How's it going, Minnesota? Welcome to the Roger Roger podcast.
Oh, yeah?
With Roger Chamberlain.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
And me.
Yeah.
Matt Engstrom.
Please clap.
Podcast number 11. I think we'll call it That's So Rad.
Is it rad or... We'll
that's,
do rad.
That's
we'll
so rad. Rad. That's a Gen X thing. That's so rad.
It's going to be rad, and what's the Gen X term for frightening and horrific?
I don't know.
Frightening and horrific?
I don't remember.
It'd be frightening and horrific.
I'll have to think about it. So you can, Sotans, you can find all of Roger's information at RogerChamberlainMN.com. Head on over there and see what's going on. Still no donate button?
Working on it. It's on the to-do list.
It's on the to-do list. Well, it's way too nice today to be working on a computer anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
I was out in the swamp cutting down trees today.
And you have a fine tan.
Do I?
I see a tan line developing.
I was out in the swamp, the frozen swamp. I wouldn't sink into the muck. And I was cleaning up all the dead brush and stuff today. Had to get outside. That was my workout for today.
That's right.
Getting outside, it's awesome.
Yeah, well,
it's rad.
I have not been outside. I came from Bemidji this morning, so.
And you mentioned something right before we started here.
I came from Bemidji, and I was at the dentist today.
Your mouth.
My dentist. I love dentists. I love our healthcare. It's a blessing to have them, but. And God bless all you dentists. But I had my wisdom teeth out finally on Monday, and. I slept very well with the Vicodin Monday, but I didn't take much of it. And my jaw does not open all the way yet, so I can only get small pieces of food inside.
You're not going to have a big mouth today? Is that what you're saying?
So I've had some good soup, but I've been doing pretty well. And today I went back to have something removed, and I asked her when I left on Monday. Apparently I walked out, but I was very dazed. And
who drove you home?
My beautiful wife and that.
There you go.
And then I... apparently, I told the nurse and the doctor, I said, I love you, but I also hate you.
I love you, man. I love you, man.
And then I said, I hate you because I'm not feeling well. But my teeth are fine, and they took out the rest of the packing today, and I went in there, and I said, are you going to hurt me today? So why would you say that? I said, because I'm in a dentist office. What happens there?
So was it all four? Did you get all four taken?
Just the two lower ones.
Okay. Not impacted, obviously. Otherwise, your face would be all swollen up, and you wouldn't be able to podcast today.
The one on the left had started to come through, and the other one was pushing against the jaw. So we just took out the second one, but the one had started to come through, and I got an infection. So been a couple of weeks of teeth, but thank God.
So you're finally wise? Really? Your wisdom teeth just came in now?
Well... that was told years ago to take them out, but of course, I'm like most other good Americans and good citizens, I procrastinated.
Right, exactly.
Until it caused me pain, then I said, please, please, take away the pain. And they took it away and gave me more, but I'll be fine.
That's pretty much how it happened for me, too. I had had braces, and they're like, well, you don't have enough room in your mouth. You really should get your wisdom teeth out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay. And then it finally started hurting, and then I got them taken out in college. So.
Yeah, it'll. We are lucky to have what we have here. So
absolutely, man.
I'm glad to have them finally gone, and still a little sore there, but something that a little
whiskey won't solve.
Yeah,
you're not on the Vicodin now, right?
Not on the Vicodin,
so we can have the whiskey.
We can. I'm not on Vicodin. My wife has warned me, no Vicodin and whiskey.
So what we are drinking today, I think we mentioned it last week, that we're not getting paid, we're not sponsored, they might not even want our endorsement, but these are Minnesota whiskeys. This one's Far North Spirits Rocknar.
Yes.
Minnesota rye whiskey, 47% alcohol. per volume.
I've had this before, actually.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you like it, or should I go get another one? All right. Yeah, I liked it, too. I thought it would be a good first Minnesota whiskey. Sold at Haskell's. Again, we are not being paid by Haskell's.
I'm not being paid by Haskell's.
It just happens to be where we got this whiskey.
The Haskell's on 35E and 96.
96, yes. In your district, right?
Yes, yes.
So, hey, man, cheers. Mm.
Cheers, sorry, God, family,
drinking. His, your teeth must hurt. You're already drinking. before cheersing.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, so what are we talking about today, Roger?
Well, something that came... I've been thinking about it for a while. A lot of people have been thinking about it for a while, but privacy, information, technology, and how the human beings are going to interact with that stuff. And
we're starting with data first, not... That's so rad.
Well, data, you know, I mean, the world is always run on data, right? Information. Information is king. It always has been from the beginning, right? The more information you got, the better off you are, you know. How do you feed your cows, and how do you put up the fences, and how do you beat your enemies? So information's always been important. It always is. It's always important. And it needs to be. We need information to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've think about it for a long time. A lot of people have been thinking. Nothing new under the sun, right? But it was I heard it again mentioned the other day on the radio, and it is I think it's very concerning, and people should be concerned about it. Maybe I'm overreacting, but when I think about data and information and technology,
big data. You're talking big data, like big Google, data. Facebook, right. Twitter,
Google, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter,
the NSA
YouTube.
Servers,
NSA servers. So, and how do we interact with it? What does it mean? What's the goal? Where are we going with it? How does it work? And are we prepared for this sort of thing? There was a movie I watched recently with my beautiful bride, and it was called, I believe it was The Circle. With Tom Hanks.
The Circle.
It's on Amazon, streaming Amazon. And it was basically about a large tech company, IT company, that was developing technology that would bring us closer together and take away the transparency. Don't need any secrets. An open society. Everybody knows everything. And that would be a great world. What if you had all the information you needed at your fingertips? Put up these little cameras everywhere that would give you not only the video of what you're looking at, but it would give you temperatures, it would give you humidity, and then you expand that, and what if it became part of you? And wouldn't it be a great thing if we all were just brothers and sisters all the time, and there was no secrets, and we just were living together? Well,
have you seen the Google Glass, the whole Google Glasses thing? You remember that? It didn't really take off.
Right.
You know, there was the glasses that would have a camera in it, and then it would have like a display on your lens that you could read. And one of the things that they showed for that was that when you'd go to a party or whatever, it would have facial recognition technology on the in the program, so that you'd never forget a name again. You just show up and you'd see, oh, this is Anne, and she likes this and that, and she's this many years old, and her birthday is on this date.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? So, I mean, technology is great. We benefit greatly from technology, right? And medicine.
We're using it right now.
Yeah, I went into the dentist's office a couple weeks ago, and I had the pain, and I hadn't been to a dentist's office for years, because... why? My teeth are fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes religiously. And it has changed dramatically, right? The amount of technology and how they can do it. There's a lot of great things. We all benefit from it, right? We all like the convenience of going online and shopping. Mm-hmm. We don't have to drive. It saves us time, right? The technology buys us time. Whether light bulbs, the invention of light bulb gave us time. Wash machines give us time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dishwashers, all that stuff, give us time. And when you buy things online, it gives us time, right? In my humble opinion, you can have a different opinion and fill me in where I'm wrong, because you're much smarter than I am.
Who, me?
But...
or our audience, is that...
Yeah, our audience, too. My wife and I, for Christmas, we rarely go to the mall. We go to the mall just once or twice to get the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it all comes to our house from shopping on the computer online, and a lot of it from Amazon.
Yep.
And a lot of stuff from other places too that don't use Amazon. So those are great things. They're convenient. They're helpful. They save time. They save energy. They save money. But Amazon is a big bleeping company.
Yeah, very, very large.
They are into
Google's
everything.
Very, very large.
You buy something online, and it's on your Facebook feed 2 minutes later saying, hey, here's more T-shirts.
Right, right.
There's good things, but what are truly? Now, I haven't read any books about this subject. Probably you have.
Nope.
But this ties into a lot of stuff out there. The Circle, the movie The Circle is about this. The movie Serenity is about this. The movie The Matrix, the movie The Giver. There's a lot of stuff out there that start to address this stuff.
Yeah, I think Serenity was the first one that had the TV watching you.
Yeah.
You weren't just watching the TV, but the TV was watching you.
Right. And how many people out there put tape over over your camera thing on your
laptop
or your iPad?
Yeah.
I don't know that I go anywhere that I'm not being watched or seen.
Right.
And
when I was out in the swamp, I don't think anybody was watching. Yeah. They could have been.
What you say over the airwaves, what you do anywhere can be seen and recorded. Oops.
And man, technology is just chiming in right now.
Forgot to take care of that problem there. We'll take care of that right now.
That's part of the thing with technology is that you're always available, though, too.
Well, yeah. So we're always connected 24/7. Yep. Am I not ever being watched? I hate Echo.
Echo? What's that? Is that the Alexa?
Yes. I'm sorry, public world. I hate those things in my house.
So is that where you go, hey, Echo?
Tell you what. My wife had it on in the garage when she was staining and varnishing the woodwork and the doors for our family room that we were redoing. And I went out there and expletive and to Alexa. It's just, what are you doing? I hate these things. I don't want it in my house. But
they're always listening. They got to listen for when you say Echo or Alexa or whatever. So
that's not really
listening.
A scientific look at it, but it's just my humble opinion. I hate the idea of being watched and tracked and followed and just data collecting me on everywhere. You go to the fair, or you go to a cancer walk, right? And what do they do? They want to collect your data, your blood, to do studies and DNA, and they want more information from you. So information's good, but I think we have to be really careful, and it's troubling at times. And like we said, and we enjoy some of the same movies, there are big implications here. Where does this lead? What does it mean?
What are you trading for the convenience?
What are you trading for that convenience? And is that worth it? And in the end, what are they trying to do? I know there are people out there that believe, and I'll, after this comment, I'll let you say all, you can talk the rest of the time,
I'll just drink this Rocknar. Go ahead.
The data they're collecting, there are people out there that believe we can be made better. Progressivism is just that, by definition, that things can be made better. Mm-hmm. We can be made better. That's the whole premise of a lot of these things we keep talking about in the movies, Serenity. We could be made better. The movie The Giver, the book. We could be made better. We're flawed creatures.
If we're just steered in the right direction, if we're led, if we're nudged. The whole nudge thing, wasn't there a guy that wrote the book called Nudge?
Right, and I think there's there's nothing wrong with trying to be better every day at what you do and who you are and being a better person, but we cannot be perfect. I embrace my imperfections. Imperfections make me human. Our differences make us unique. I embrace my perfectly imperfect uniqueness, and I believe there are folks out there who believe that we can be made better by nature and more perfect. But we are more than the sum of our parts. That is my humble opinion. Well, that's my belief. We are more than the sum of our parts. Uh-huh. We cannot be made perfect. Life can be ugly and unpleasant, but it makes it unique and eclectic and organic and enjoyable. So that's how I think about all this, is that sometimes it's bothersome, and I don't know where it all leads and how people think about it, but I think there are a lot of people like you and me who have the same thoughts and concerns about information, data, and what are these companies trying to do? We're just here to help. We want to improve X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
But, okay.
How are they doing that is the question.
Right, so.
Are they allowing us to make a choice, or are they making us think that we're making a choice?
Right, so there's...
where actually we're not. We're being kind of led in that direction.
We're imperfect creatures. Propaganda. And I have my religious beliefs take me to a starting point, but we're imperfect. We can't be made perfect. We're different, which make us unique. I love those things about us. It brings out a lot of different things in life, and we create a lot of different things. There's more than one way to make a brake pad, right? There's more than one way to
pull a tooth.
Right. There's a lot of different ways to make the same thing and make it work, and those are wonderful things. And I don't know, and secondly, I just hate the idea of being watched and tracked and listened to and having everything recorded all the time wherever I'm at, because we have some great goal in mind that we can somehow be better by nature. But that's my diatribe.
That's your diatribe. My concern with, I love this information age that we're in.
Yeah.
I am by nature a curious person.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to try to figure things out. And basically, I mean, in the past, a sign of wealth was your library. Like Thomas Jefferson had a huge library, right? He was a really rich guy. He had all these books, huge library. Now everybody's got the entire world's library at their fingertips. Yep. And so we're all hugely wealthy right now. I mean, information is power, but it's always how it's used. That's for me is this is a great thing, but unfortunately, humans being what they are, they don't necessarily use it in the right way. Do you need to go cough or something?
So there you go. You see what you're saying right now? You're summing up my concerns very well. So that's very smart. You're very smart. Keep going.
That's
information is power. Information. How do we use it?
How do you use it? By all estimates, by all studies, most of the traffic on the internet is what?
Pornography.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. That's what it is. Most of the traffic is pornography. And so we've got this great tool.
Not by research. We just, somebody told us that.
Somebody told us. Yeah, exactly.
I don't do that.
So it's how you use it. And also, see, it's just, I mean, we've got how we use it, but then it's how these companies are using it as well. And if they're just providing information, great. If they're just providing a service, great. But there clearly is something else going on here in collecting all of this data. And I think these people believe that the more data that they capture, the more they can predict what's going to happen next. It's all about trends. It's all about being on the front edge of that wave so that they can make money or have influence or win elections or whatever. And when they synthesize all this data, which it brings up the question, are we individuals or are we just a little packet of data that's in this huge equation?
Let me ask you a question and sum this up. So as you said, information is power. It's information age is great. It's wonderful. It makes us unique and curious. We always look for it. Information is powerful.
I think some people do. Right. I don't think all people do.
Information is powerful, but it depends on how you use that information, what the intent of it is. And you just said one thing that they like to do is some people like to use it to make predictions.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the polls. That's everything. Mm-hmm. I think there's predictive technology. I also think there's a huge risk of propaganda and actually leading people towards a certain conclusion. And I think that happens a lot. I think, you know, you look at Facebook and the trending stories, they do not have usually stories from the right side of the aisle. It's usually from the left side of the aisle. And so this can easily be corrupted. This is a lot of power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right?
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, some radical came up with that one, I think. I think it was maybe George Washington or Thomas Paine or something.
No idea.
But that's my... I love it. I love... when I was younger, I had... huge CD collection and a huge VHS movie collection. And then when DVDs came out, I bought a ton of DVDs. And now you just get Netflix or you get Amazon Prime. And you've got it all. Really, and it was expensive to buy all that stuff back in the day. And now it's cheap. Entertainment's cheap. With this fantastic technology that we've got, everything is cheap. But I just worry that it's cheapening us as people as well, that we're just a market. We're no longer individuals. We're just a consumer. We're just a little piece of data, some end user that people can use our information to sell stuff to us that we maybe don't necessarily want or need. And we can be influenced by it, too. We can be propagandized. We can be brainwashed. There's a lot of power in there, and people that understand. We don't need to talk about neuro-linguistic programming, but it's a thing.
No, we don't.
NLP is a thing, and you can influence people through words and how words are used. You can affect how they think, and I fear that this. That's why I think you can't immerse yourself too much in this technology. It's a tool. And it's great, but everything in moderation. Use it for what's good about it. But if you're signing up for all these apps and just sharing your personal information through all these different apps and things, you're really handing over too much to the beast. Some would say you're handing over a little too much to in the future whatever AI. They're trying to work on AI right now, and really. The amount of data that's available, AI is going to be omnipresent and omniscient. It's going to be as close to, quote, God as I thought. If they actually create this thing, it's going to be very, very powerful.
So. Believe it or not, you might be able to look it up on your pad there, but I saw a story, I don't watch the local news stuff anymore, but so I think I read this story online. And it had to do with predicting crime.
Right. Well, it's like Minority Report, basically. Yeah. The movie Minority Report.
And
pre-crime.
Right. And I can't remember the exact story, but I do remember seeing the headline. So obviously people have been out there for a long time thinking about this, brainstorming this. And writing about it and then making it into novels and books, those can be informative to us. But you bring up again, you brought this down to a great thing. This is a great age to be in. Information is there. It makes us all wealthy. We can communicate and connect with people. But it is power, and how you use it. Really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I think we all need to be aware of how people use this. Now, if you go to Amazon, Google, these super huge, large companies, that their business is collecting data and information because, hey, all we need to do is this. Every time I put apps on my phone because it's easy to get around. Again, convenience, right? Right, right? Time saves me time. I don't have to look up the map.
Especially the traffic stuff is tracking you. They know exactly where you are.
They know where I'm at, and they know where I've been.
Yeah.
And they know where I'm, so they know where I'm at.
Probably know where you're going, too.
And know where I've been. And so all this stuff is great, but there is a price to it, and I think we have to be aware of it. And these large companies, you can say what you want. Large companies, independent. But, now here comes, this might be in your territory, is there collusion with the government?
Right.
And that's where the big danger comes in. Yeah. And
The largest servers in the world are the NSA servers.
Is it paranoid? No, that is not paranoid speak. No. We know it. That's what they do because people are always looking for information. Yeah. They want it because it can mean success or failure, yeah, winning or losing. So we
and the
know
time
it
scales
happens.
Are down are really short now. Basically, with the increase in technology, our measure of time is quicker and quicker and quicker. You know, it used to be, you know, the speed at which news came out was what, by word of mouth, and what, before we had newspaper. I mean, the printing press was a huge innovation during the Revolutionary War. Basically, it's probably responsible for our success in that war and getting those ideas out as quickly as you could through the printing press. And then that led to newspapers. And but you know, you'd have a week long news cycle maybe. Was that fair enough to say? This is just a guess.
Yeah,
and then when you got network TV, maybe it's sort of a daily news cycle. Everybody tuned in at the end of the day for, you know, a news broadcast on one of the big three television stations back when television was first starting. Radio probably was a similar thing, that maybe it was daily then. And now it's minute by minute. Now it's the time scales are so quick that's why we feel so frantic and hectic all the time, and like we don't have enough time because those time scales are so short. Trading day traders on the stock exchange place their servers as close as they can to where the orders come in because that fraction of a second of data transmission time speed makes a difference for these algorithms in day trading. So I don't know if humans were meant for that. I don't know if humans were meant to live in this kind of where time scales are so short. I think we are meant to stop and smell the roses. We're not meant to be constantly doing stuff and constantly bombarded with information and data. So I think it's sort of turning us into computers, and that might be why we're going a little crazy. I think that might be why we're going
there
a little
crazy.
There
you have it. We're being turned into computers, just like the Matrix or the Borg, right? The Matrix being one movie and the Borg being part of the Star Trek thing.
We might have to call this one a different title. We might have to save That's So Rad for later. So what should podcast number 11?
This isn't that rad. It's
got to be about data, and the picture could be Data from Star Trek Next Generation. So Lieutenant Data, something about Data.
I usually leave the creative to you. I'm not creative.
The picture will be Data. It'll be the AI machine Data.
So from a policy and a legislative perspective, it is a big deal at the legislature. Data privacy and protecting people's rights, personal rights to their information that belongs to them right down to their DNA.
Right. We can easily store DNA now. I mean, you can store your entire DNA. We've got the storage capacity to do that.
Is a big deal legislatively because it's a big deal for people. People are concerned about it, and more people are concerned about it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
They, you know, whether it's taking DNA from your baby as soon as the baby is born without your permission.
Yep.
Or
and that's not going into a database. No, that's
right.
Not, oh, sure.
So we fought to get that as an opt-in and not an opt-out. And even that's a big deal. They want this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of people listening to, if anybody listens to this, will say, well, that's a great thing. Why is it a bad thing to want information so we can save lives? I'm not saying it's bad to save lives, but
again, how you use it.
How you use it. Do you trust everybody to use it the right way? And the answer should be no.
Yeah.
History has shown that.
Could you imagine if the Nazis had the data gathering power and the computing power and the ability to track and all that? If they had the tools of today back then,
believe me,
to be able to definitively say this person's a Jew, this person's Aryan,
well, believe
whatever.
Me,
I mean,
people like that still exist in this world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They were not they're there. That's why we should be very careful about what we do with the data.
Yep.
Who has it, who collects it, what you do with it, and how long you keep it. So from the collection of DNA from babies without your permission, to
pouring some more Rocknar here.
Body cameras for cops, yep. And we can all say, "Well, that's not a bad idea because then we'll know exactly what's going on." But
Data gets lost conveniently sometimes, does it not?
Because these are very, people are concerned about their private information, and rightfully so, whether it's the written word, your DNA, your what the cop would see with his body camera, that, you know, and that's frankly why I don't like the idea of cameras all around in the city streets. People say, well, what about the safety? If something happens, you'll have a camera on that street corner and you'll be able to do it. Okay, right.
But with facial
think about the implications going down the road. Do you want to trade that liberty, that freedom, that security, that liberty,
and privacy,
and privacy, and that humanity, your humanity and your life,
for this security,
for this type of
it's security,
presumed
it's the old,
security.
Yeah, it's the Ben Franklin quote, right?
And if we think that government or individuals are going to use this data always in the with your best interest in mind, well,
you don't understand human nature.
That is a complete misreading of history. That's a misreading of human nature, and a complete absence of any knowledge of human history. Because so, whether it's Chamberlain and me sitting here concerned personally about this stuff, in whether it's video or audio or something coming through your computer or Alexa or Echo or a large company collecting data, and what are they doing with it?
It can be digital currency. You know, they're trying to go to basically a digital currency.
Right.
I mean, that's,
so...
Yeah. For me, it's about choice. And there should always be that opt out,
right?
Whatever we're creating, you shouldn't have to be a part of it to be a member of society, or then you're forcing. It's force. Then it's not freedom. It's force.
So think about the end goal here, the end game, and what happens with all this data that is now being collected, and how you're being watched and listened to and tracked, and some of it's goods, because we can make better decisions and cure illnesses and diseases. But think about what this can lead to. And a lot of smart people and creative people have written books and put out the movies to tell us about it. So, and at the legislature, it's an important thing because people care about it, and it is a big deal.
You know what we're giving the Borg? You know what we're giving the Beast with this podcast? Our voice and how we talk. Have you seen the whole experiment where all they need is a certain number of words?
Right.
And they can make you say anything they want you to?
Right. You remember back in the day, a picture was a picture, right? Yeah, Polaroid shot, 1932. Someone took a picture. That's what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that time has long since passed, right? Because, you know, you can digitally recreate anything. Mm-hmm. So you take a picture and... you have to not trust your eyes in that case, because there could be a lot of other things there. So it's just concerning to me. It's concerning to a lot of citizens and a lot of people, and rightfully so. And whether it's private entities doing it or the government doing it or a collaboration between the two, maybe that is concerning, and we should be concerned about it. But I, again, will go back to my original statement. I am perfectly imperfect. I love it. It makes the world beautiful and unique for all of us to be different. It's ugly and messy at times, but I tell you what, the end result, if we don't have it that way, what is the opposite? So that's the answer, right? What is the opposite of that?
It's the Borg.
Which
where
is...
Where nobody's unique.
We're all the same. The hive mind.
We're always communicate instantly.
Right. We're always connected. We're always thinking the same. There's no trouble. There's no chaos. There's no ups and downs. There's no pain. There's no happiness. There's just existence.
Right.
And now that gets to an end game. So I guess the question is, if we like our humanity, which is perfectly imperfect and unique and different, you know, what is the opposite of it? And where do you go with that? And you had said it. I mean, you perhaps it is that sort of thing. I'm not suggesting that's where we're going, but
we could.
Think about the potential and what that really means. And I like the variety.
I love being able to find music from different areas, and you know, you know, be able to find whatever kind of entertainment you want, whatever kind of information you want, you know, making friends on Facebook of people I would have never met before, ever. I would have never had a chance to meet all these great people. And so there's a lot of great things about it. And it's definitely going to be data for the title. I just got the title now. It's going to be Good Data, Bad Data. That's going to be the title. The good picture data. Will be of Data from data, Star Trek. We've mentioned the data. Borg. You know, the Star Trek's sort of ahead of the curve on a lot of this stuff. So.
Oh, I was going to mention one other movie. Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah.
Wesley Snipes and
that's a great
Sylvester
movie.
Stallone, right?
Yeah.
And it was
the
great,
underground people that right. like to eat meat and
right.
hamburgers and stuff.
And smoke cigarettes. They were imperfect. They swore. And they weren't always pretty and neat. People above ground. And the rule above ground, and this is what Sandra Bullock was in the movie, the rule above ground was anything that was bad for you was illegal.
Right, yeah.
So I dare say...
And all these things are happening, like the jingle station, where the songs were really the really short jingles. They'd be listening to the radio and be these right. stupid jingles, right?
Right.
If you listen to the radio now, they're cutting popular music down to maybe a minute long. They're editing songs down to maybe a minute long, a minute and a half. And it's really frustrating. I'll hear this great Muse song that I love. Mm-hmm. And just when it starts getting good, it's over because they basically edit it down. It's the attention span. It's the, again, that's the time scales thing that if you're not like on this podcast, it's probably the people that advise on podcasts are probably like, well, you got to get it done in blah, blah, blah minutes because people don't have the attention span. Well, why don't they have the attention span? Because they're able to just click, 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 move to the next. Tumblr, what is it, Tinder, where the online dating app where they're just, no, don't like. These are real human beings that you're just yep. swiping by and, right. and disregarding that quickly. And so it's how you use it. There's good data, bad data. Last thoughts.
Good data, bad data. You're right. And again, I think it's something that people are concerned about. I think about it. Is the sky falling? Probably not. But it's something people should think about and be concerned about. And they are. So we should be aware of it and address it as such. But it makes me extremely uncomfortable. Super mega companies with all this power and ability to use that power.
Yeah.
And sometimes for good, but
and they're monopolies too. Not really a choice right now, and that's part of the problem. There's always got to be a choice. When there's no choice, then there's an issue.
I embrace our humanity, and we are more than the sum of our parts, and I hope we can keep it that way. To that end,
that's it.
What do we say? Good night.
No. Now I have to summarize again. That was the Roger Podcast with Roger Chamberlain, Senator, Minnesota Senator, State Senator, Roger Chamberlain, and me, Matt Engstrom, podcast number 11, Good Data, Bad Data. Maybe Roger will stick around here and we'll do the rad one, which is what I was prepared for.
I see.
Well, you did based on last week's, we hinted at radical and all that stuff, so maybe we'll do another one here. Sotans, you can find all of Roger's information at RogerChamberlainMN.com. Share these links if you like this podcast. Please do comment. We'd like to see some engagement. Did you post last week's podcast yet on your Twitter feed?
I don't think so. That was a one-off, Matt. That was a one-off, Matt. I like it. I'm going to hold on to that one for a while.
All right. Well, we hope you have a fantastic week. Sotans, good morning, good day, good evening, good night.
Good luck.
And
God bless.
Over. Roger. Huh? Roger, over. Huh? Who?